week before and the week before. It's time for you not to have heavy warfare. It's time for you to be overcomers, right? And we believe in an overcoming gospel. Amen. And so in Psalms 94:13, the Bible says, "Thou shalt tread upon lion and adder, and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under the feet." Now, when you read the Bible, you see these figures as shown in the Bible, and you see them as they say it's a lion or a scorpion or a locust or or an adder, but yet it's something more than that. And what it is it's a demon. Amen. And Christians have the anointing and the power to overcome. Jesus didn't go to the cross and die so that we would get battered all the time. And a lot of the battering that happens to Christians comes because of lack of knowledge, because they just don't understand spiritual warfare. They've never been taught anything much about it. And so when things happen to them, they just accept it. You know, this just happened to me, and, you know, I got sick, I got a headache, I got this, I got that. And you walk around with it, and Jesus is the answer. But you have to learn to walk in your authority, in your power that he's left for you. And he has left a lot of authority and power to Christians. I believe that when we stand before the throne of heaven and God shows us the amount of power that we sat on all of our Christian lives, the victories that we lost for lack of knowledge, we're just going to be amazed. You see, we're gonna be overwhelmed, because we're going to say, gee, I didn't know I could do that. Now, when you read the Bible, you will see in Acts 16:18, there was a woman, and it seems to me that she was sort of just hanging around the Christians as they went around and ministered in the streets. And Paul showed us how to demonstrate the power of God in these particular scriptures. The Bible shows this woman had a spirit of divination. Divination comes out of the Greek word python. So remember, I told you that they're displayed as things that we know about. Lions and adders and snakes and Leviathan is a spirit that sinks up in the mind, and Kundalini is a snake. Both of these are snake spirits that lodges down here in the spine. A python spirit, what does it do? It wraps around a person, and then it just keeps getting tighter and tighter and squeezes that person, right? So we've noticed, for instance, one of the signs of the python is he'll squeeze your finances. He'll squeeze your church, and he'll squeeze you. He, I believe, causes heart attacks. He'll wrap himself around your chest and start squeezing, squeezing, squeezing. And so there is a snake spirit that's called adder. And that spirit is a poisonous spirit. It's a snake. And if it bites, you're going to die, right? So snakes have different functions, and they operate in different ways. So over the years, we found that if you attack these five snakes in a person, they'll get immediate relief because usually they are operating in that person somewhere, down the family lines or somewhere. But this particular woman, the Bible shows that she hung around the men of God. And what was she doing? She was prophesying. She was using her gift that she got from the devil. And her gift was to tell fortunes. And she had mind handlers that took care of her and put her out where they wanted her to be. And you can think of it. How many of you know what a pimp is? You know what a pimp is, right? Well, the pimp really gets most of the money from the prostitute. We all know that, right? And so she had handlers that were handling her for gain, the Bible says. But what I wanted to draw your attention to is that word divination comes out of the Greek as python, which is a snake. So whenever you see a fortune teller or a witch or somebody like a wizard, somebody wanting to tell your fortune or your future that is not coming from God, it's a python snake operating through that person. And if you allow one of these divinators to come and tell your fortune, that snake will come upon you and it will wrap itself around you and it will take control of your life. I remember some years ago, there was an Indian woman that stayed with me and I was ministering to her. And my son Alex took her over to this friend's house. And when they came home, he was laying on the couch, and I looked over at him, and I saw this snake, and it was wrapped around him, totally wrapped around him. And I said, Alex, where have you been? You've got this snake wrapped around you. And they said, well, we just went over to see his friend. And I said, well, your friend has divination powers, and she has... This snake has come upon you, and we cut it off of him in the spirit realm. And but it was a supernatural spiritual demon. And so in this case, the lady that was the divinator, that is shown in Acts 16, we see that what was the activity was that Paul was ministering the power of Jesus, that Jesus is Lord, he's God, he can heal, he can deliver. He was doing the work of the gospel. But this snake that was in this spirit or in this woman wanted to hinder his work, he wanted to stop the people from being able to get their eyes upon him, and instead for their eyes to come upon them. And so what Paul did, let's just read a little bit more, and then I'll talk a little bit more. Acts 16, 18, we're gonna read this. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these are the men, are servants of the Most High God, which show us unto the way of salvation. And she did this many days, But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And the Bible says that this spirit came out of her the same hour. Now, there's a lot of little things that I want to point out to you before we go on. One of the things is that she followed him around and she had a spirit of divination and soothsayer. And so she was probably in the congregation or the street people that had gathered around using her supernatural gift. Now, one thing about supernatural gifts is this. They operate the same way because they have to come out of the spirit realms into this realm. And if a person is working under the anointing of a divinating spirit, they prophesy. If a person is working under the spirit of the Holy Ghost, they can prophesy. And if you're not discerning, if you're not prayerful, you can get under a divinating spirit and not really even realize that the person is under divination. Now, this is why the Bible tells us, test these spirits to see if they be of God. Now, God told you to do that. So he knows that when you test the spirit, you're going to be testing to see, is this the spirit of Jesus? Is this the spirit of the devil? Is this the human spirit of the person? Is this a divinating spirit? You have to know, because of the fact, spirits come through the laying on of hands. So if a person lays their hands upon you, then what happens if they are operating under the power of a divinating spirit? You will have a false spirit. Over the years, I've seen tent people go around the country in tent. Not all. Many people have a heart for God, because we have a friend that goes around in tent, and I know he's not like this. But some people go out in the tent for the purpose of hiding. They have things in their lives that they cannot stand the scrutiny of a congregation. For instance, they could be in fornication. They could be in adultery. They could be an alcoholic. They could be a drug addict. They could have habits that couldn't stand the scrutiny of a congregation that they have to stand before every week. And so the reason that I say this is a lot of Christians go out to the tents and they never test the spirits to see if they be of God. They just sit there, and what they do is they think, oh, I hope he gives me a prophecy, because a lot of times they're walking up and down the aisles giving prophecies. And so what happens is, you see, the spirit in them draws them. Now listen to this carefully. The spirit, listen to me, everybody listen, because this is important to you. The spirit in that minister, okay? The other person has a spirit in them of like manner. And while that preacher is preaching, that spirit in him can reach out and draw that spirit in that person. And so somehow or other, they're just drawn to them. And the minister knows it. And the person feels a special affection for that minister. And so then what happens if he's truly or she is truly, if they have a depth in the spirit realms, they can tap into you, that spirit can, and it can know things about you. One of the things that they can know about you, I've discovered over the years, is they can, for instance, if you've got $200 in your pocket, it's very curious, they know it. And then they begin to pull for that $200 from you to come to them, you see. And the next thing you know, you're just up there and you give them the money. And they give you a prophecy or whatever it is that you went up there for. Now, here's what I need you to ask. It doesn't matter where you meet a strange minister. You have to always check what? Their spirit. Isn't that right? And how do you check their spirit? Well, first place, you take authority over the spirits that are in them. And you say, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I forbid you to prophesy over me if this is not of God. I bind the Python spirit, the divinating spirit, and every spirit that's operating in this individual. You do spiritual warfare for yourself. When you go into another meeting, you can do it here. Do it to me. You're supposed to do it to me too, right? But when you go to a meeting, you do spiritual warfare for yourself, because if you get up underneath a false spirit, those spirits can come in you. You understand that? So what do? You take authority over the spirits, and you bind it. Now, one of the areas where false divinators work is in the money realms, in the realms of money. And fortune teller, you don't go to a fortune teller free, ever. Never. They charge you. Amen. And so, if somebody has special interest in money, a flag needs to come up inside of you. A red flag needs to start flying. Da, 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 da. Something's wrong here, I can see. Amen? Because what does the Bible say? The Bible says freely, and this is talking to the minister, freely you have received, that means I gave you a miracle. I brought you into the kingdom. I did all of these things for you. Freely you shall give. Now, ministers live on offerings and tithes. Churches survive on tithes. And you are supposed to give your pastor and churches tithes, but you are supposed to pray when you give strangers money. You are supposed to pray about it. And the reason that you are supposed to pray about that is that the money, if you're giving it to God, you want it to go to God, don't you? Is that right? So if a person has pulled for the money and you don't know the person very well, then you have to go to prayer and you have to seek God. Why? Well, the person that got the money may take it and use it for whatever they want to use it for. Who knows? But you're not responsible for that. What you're responsible for is, the Bible says that if you put your money on good ground, then what happens? It comes back to you. If you put your money on evil ground, you don't get a harvest from that money, right? So God has these little things that he has in his Bible for the purpose of training you in your Christianity. Everybody in here wants a harvest, don't we? We want a harvest. I want a harvest. So test the spirits to see if they be of God. So as you notice this divinating lady that came around, Paul watched her for several days. He watched her. He was discerning her spirit. And he didn't just hop on her and rebuke her as soon as things, her ministry started happening. He watched her for several days. And then, here's the way this devil operated. The Bible clearly tells us that this woman was a divinating spirit and had masters that she answered to. It clearly tells us that, right? So the Bible says that Paul watched her and she was crying out and following the men of God for several days. And what was she saying? She was saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And she did this many days. Now, the words were true, were they not? Weren't those men out there preaching the gospel and showing the people how to get to Jesus? Weren't those men men of the God Most High? She wasn't lying. But then the very next verse we see, it says, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. He didn't know her. He had just watched her spirit and her activity for several days. And then when God and the power of God moved upon him to do so, he took authority over the divinating spirit right in front of everybody, and he rebuked it. And then the Bible shows that when he commanded the spirit to come out of her, the last part of that verse says, and he came out the same hour. He didn't come out immediately, did he? The same hour. That's important for you to know. Because there are some spirits that leave immediately. And then there are other spirits that take time to get you delivered. But when the man or the woman of God speaks to that spirit in authority, believing the words of the Bible that they're speaking, that spirit has no choice. It has to leave. And if you notice, Paul really didn't get her permission to do that. And we talk about people being saved and being submitted and things of that nature to be delivered. But what gave him the authority and the right to speak to that spirit, command it to go, was she was interfering with his ability to preach the gospel. She was trying to snatch the sheep. Can you see that? There's another scripture in the book of Acts that talks about Simon the sorcerer. And you can see this same pattern where he was preaching to the deputy, but here comes Simon the sorcerer, and he's trying to keep the deputy from receiving the gospel. And so suddenly the apostle spoke to Simon the sorcerer, and he said, let a season of blindness come upon you. And the Bible says they led him away, and he was blind for a season. So this shows you that a man of God, a woman of God, there knoweth nothing in this world to play around with a man, a true man and a woman of God, because they have the protection of God upon them. And see, witches know this. Over the years, delivering witches out of witchcraft and wizards, they've told me things that they used to do. That's why I know what I know about the occult. It's not that I was so deep in it, because I wasn't. Amen? But what they do is the witch will come and scan you. How do they do that? They'll come to your house. They will astral project. That's called soul traveling. You can find that in the Old Testament, where the witches come after the believers and teach them to soul travel. And then when they soul travel, they come and they watch you and they look at you. And what are they looking at? They're looking to see if you're protected. They're looking to see if you know what you're doing. They're looking to see if you have a spiritual warfare going on in your life to protect yourself. And this ministry has already taught you the blood of Jesus covers you. The fire of the Holy Ghost puts a fire between you and them, right? You can ask God to build a hedge of protection around you. What in the world do you think you're doing when you do those things? You're protecting yourself from witches and wizards from coming to your house and visiting you in your dreams or talking to you in your dreams. Because if you truly believe that when you speak the words, that the words will come into existence, because you're speaking them as a child of God and under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, it will happen for you. The name of Jesus works. Amen? And so the Bible shows that these early disciples had great anointings and powers to the level that when they walked down the street, that their shadow could fall upon somebody, and that person would get healed. Yeah, power. Supernatural. Jesus' power is real. And that's where you've got to come. As you get delivered, you've got to come to the point of self-defense. Now, you've got a pastor that knows a lot about self-defense and these kind of things. And I can teach you a lot of things about it, but you have to get to the point that you're functioning in it for yourself, that it's happening for you because you know these things that I just taught you, and you know that, oh, yes, I felt oppressed on my head, and I started taking authority over that. I bound the devils in the name of Jesus and commanded them to go, and instantly I got relief. You have to know that. And you say, well, I try that, but it don't work for me. Well, you're not there yet. You will arrive there if you listen and practice your faith. Amen? Amen. Amen. Pastor Dennis didn't start moving in the levels of deliverance that you've seen him move in just overnight. It took a long time of dedication to the Lord, dedication to the Word, teaching, and then doing before you can go to those deeper levels and walk away without great major attacks on you. when I got into the deliverance ministry, I had nobody to teach me because there were no deliverance ministry in America around. The Lord taught me. And I can't tell you, some of the warfare that I walked through was just unbelievable. But some of it that I got into, I know that if I didn't get the victory, I was going to die. There has been times that the Lord would have to say to me, "You're not going to die. You're not going to die." And I'm fighting and binding and doing everything I can, but my flesh felt it. And the Lord said, "You're not going to die." And when he would say that to me, I would rise up and take the power and bind the devils. And I would say, "I'm not going to die. And you get out of here in the name of Jesus," and get a fresh wind from God and win the victory. You see, it's a learning experience. And you have, really and truthfully, I must say it's a privilege to have ministers that have been in the ministry, that know these things, that can talk to you. When you get in a problem, come and talk to them. If you have a question, come and ask them. If they tell you something, for God's sakes, listen. Because if you don't listen and you get out there on your own and you make decisions that you should not be making, you're going to get in a lot of trouble. I'm telling you. And we don't expect you to always be in that pew where you're having to listen to everything, because the day will come when God will speak to you and lead you. Right? If you have a problem, come and ask. If the pastor doesn't know it, or if I don't know it, we'll go and find out. But don't get out there as people going through deliverance in your own spirit, doing things that you shouldn't do, because you get in a lot of trouble. You see, these people that spoke to that demon in that woman, the Bible says, and he left her. If you listen, if I was teaching on Lydia today, the first woman, the first Gentile woman that came into the kingdom of God, she got saved in an outdoor meeting, and then immediately she joined herself to those people, the apostles, and she says, "Come to my house." So the first evangelistic meeting to Gentiles was in a woman's house. Don't ever let the men forget it, girls. But it was in a woman's house, and she brought them to her so that more could happen for her and she could grow in the spirit, and she established a church in her house. But if she had gotten saved and she never would come to the ministers so that they could teach her more, she might have backslid. You see, God gave us a church for a purpose. He gave you a pastor for a purpose. He gave you a fellowship for a purpose. And these purposes are for your learning, for your security, for those pastors to be able to surround you with love, care, and the Word of God, to teach you, to make your spirit stronger, to show you the way back to God. Now, the pastor's duty is to teach you. The pastor has to teach you. And this is why the Word says, don't let many of you be teachers, because the teacher will give a harder account before the throne of God, because the pastor and the teacher, they have to give an account to God for you. So that's why I take the pulpit so seriously as I do, because of the fact, one day, if I teach you wrong, I'm going to answer for that. Now, why is that? Because we have to care for your souls. We have to account for them, but at the same time, we have to care for them. And so if your pastor tells you something, for God's sakes, listen. They're not going to lead you astray. There is no jealousy in my body about what God does through another minister. There's no jealousy in Pastor Dennis. We've already overcome that part of the flesh. Well, Lord, why did you do that for him instead of me? No, we are not there. He does something through him. I say, glory to God. God used you. That's where you have to get, you see. But there is a lot of jealousy in some people's ministries. I can honestly tell you that. But we're not there. Now, as you continue to go through deliverance, I have to tell you that there's areas that God wants you to grow up. And one of the areas that he wants you to grow up in is in your authority, as we talked about today, in your knowledge of the word, as we talked about, in your submission to the preacher. This is not a sheep and shepherd place. We don't make you come in here and say, now, Pastor Holiday, I want to sell my house. Can I sell my house? Well, honey, that's your business. You want to go sell your house? You go sell your house. That's not my business. I can't take control of your life, right? But there were preachers that did that just in the last years. They called them sheep and shepherds, where they took total control over the people's lives. We don't do that here. Your willing heart must submit to the ministry, and I will never overcome it in you. Even if I see you going wrong, I will tell you. It's up to you to listen. It's up to you to submit. If the pastor has told you something, if you don't believe it, go and seek the Lord in prayer and fasting. But it's dangerous. I'm telling you, it's dangerous to step out by yourself. It just really is. Have I helped you tonight? Okay. then I'm going to minister to you tonight and call out just a few spirits because we do that on Friday night, right? And on Tuesday night. And so there is a spirit of witchcraft, and that's a spirit that we just talked about. And that spirit works in the church in America today very powerfully, very strongly, because of the fact that pastors do not do deliverance. They do not. Now, I see my little gent back there, and he seems to say, what's going on here? What's going on here is that what we will do is we will call these spirits out. They can be linked down through your family line, never have been called out, and causing you problems today. They can also be linked in you from sin of the past that you've done, connections with ungodly people, all sorts of things, and that's another whole spirit. But the way you get rid of these things is you just take a deep breath, right, and breathe them out. They will come out. They will come out in, they can come out in a cough, or they can come out in a hiccup or a yawn. Other ways we won't go into. But you don't want them, right? And so we're going to just take authority over the ancestral spirits of witchcraft in your family line. Now, you know, 15 centuries ago, there was a big witchcraft movement, and 10 generations ago. And so all of us may have had witches attached to our family line. And I can tell you, if you're from Scotland like I am, definitely. Definitely. There's a lot of stuff over in Scotland, right? And England. And Italy. And Jacksonville. Amen. So we take authority over the occultic spirits in you, and witchcraft, and heredity. That spirit's coming down the family line. According to 1 Samuel 15:21, now we're going to bind all of the spirits that's connected to that spirit, to the witchcraft spirit and the occult spirit. We bind ancestral, rebellion, Freemasonry, mockery, skepticism, ritualistic spirits, child abuse. Now, we're going to stop right here just for a moment. If you were abused as a child in your family line and you have remembrance of it, we're all going to say a prayer together because we don't need to know. Right? Only you and Jesus need to know. Say, Lord Jesus, I forgive that person, whether it's mother, father, brother, sister, uncle, whatever, in Jesus' name. I ask you to save them. And tonight, I forgive them. I ask you to forgive them. In Jesus' name. And I cut from me all of the demonic activity that came into me from that abuse. If it's verbal abuse, same thing. Sexual abuse, same thing. Amen? Say, I forgive them. And tonight, I cut the cords, the bands between me and them, in Jesus' name. I break the chains in Jesus' name. And now I'm coming out of this bondage that has followed me all of my life. And I command those demons to go into a cage. And I take my spiritual keys and I lock that cage. And they can never torment me again from this day forward. In Jesus' name. And now we renounce the powers of Freemasonry going down our generational lines, 10 generations back. And we break every ritual, every prayer. Now, in these things, they lead them into prayers to capture their families. The person that's in Freemasonry might not even realize what he's doing, or she, the Eastern Star people. But we break every prayer, every giving of me and my children to the lodge and to the head of the lodge in Jesus' name. We break those oaths and we command those oaths right now. They have no power over us. They have no power of fear over us. We break the power of fear. And we command that fear to leave. We break the power of mockery. Antichrist. Serving other gods and goddesses. All the ritualisms, we break them. We come against all of the doubt and unbelief that we have in Jesus Christ and His Word. And we command all of these devils to get into that cage. We lock it. We command all cords, bindings, fetters, and chains to be loosed from us in Jesus' name. Now just take deep breaths and let them go. Out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus. Now, any of you that were in this Freemasonry thing for yourself, we're going to just attack that. Or witchcraft, going to fortune tellers or anything like that. Just say, Lord Jesus, I renounce the powers of the devil, of Freemasonry, rebellion, and I command those devils to be bound. I repent from all of the powers of that over my life. And tonight, I cage them, put them in that cage, lock it with the power that Jesus gave to me. I give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatsoever you shall bind on this earth shall be bound in heaven. Where's Jesus? He's in heaven. What does Jesus do when we speak the word, I bind you? He affirms your words. He does it for you. Amen? Hallelujah. And so when you say, I bind this off of my life, he's up there and he says, great, I bind it too. And it's helpless. Can you see what happens in the spirit realm? And so then you come to this area of spiritualism. Now these people talk to dead people. They talk to demons. That you might have to be in the higher levels to know that they do that, but they do that. And it may surprise you that they do animal sacrifices in the higher levels and human sacrifices. And so what does that mean? That means blood was shed for your soul. So tonight we take authority over every blood sacrifice for my soul, and we break it. And you have no yokes to put on me, because Jesus breaks the yokes over my life now. We break the blood sacrifices of animals, humans, and we say that we break it over ourselves, and we break it over our families. And just as this curse goes back 10 generations, we break it. And we release over us and our families, 10 generations forward, the blessings of Abraham, according to Galatians, which gives us the blessings, because the Bible says in Deuteronomy, cursed is he that hangeth on the cross, or the tree actually. And Jesus came and said, cursed is he that hangeth on the cross, for I have redeemed you from the curse of the law. That's Galatians. I think it's Galatians 3:13. And so you've been redeemed. Now shout out the devil and say, devil, I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. You take your hands off of me. You take your hands off of my body. You take your hands off of every muscle, every cell, every organ, everything that God put me together with, all my bones, everything. And in the name of Jesus, I'm blessed. I throw the curses off of me. I'm no longer bound. The chains are broken over my mind, over my body, over my spirit. And in the name of Jesus, I break your powers to keep me down. And tonight, I cough every one of you out. Just start coughing them. Start coughing them. Cough them out. Cough them right into that handkerchief. Get out. All. Now, whatever infirm spirit that the doctors have told you that you have, name it right now. Name it. Name it. And say, you spirit, you are a name. And I forbid you to continue to torment me. Any sin that I did in the past is under the blood. You have no rights to keep me down. And in the name of Jesus, I command you, get up and out of my body now. Take a deep cough and cough it out. Heart conditions, sugar diabetes, crippling spirits, paralyzing spirits, sexual spirits from the past. Whatever it is, family spirits, whatever's coming down to get on you to stop your ministry. Come on, cough it out. Deep coughs, deep coughs. Things in the mind, things in the neck, things in the stomach, things in the back, things down here in the legs, things all over you. Get out. Every itsy bitsy germ is cursed in the name of Jesus. You have no rights. We curse you in Jesus' name. Come up and out, dead. You cannot attack anybody else. Come out, germs, dead, in the name of Jesus. You're defeated this night. All inherited curses, all inherited diseases, every witchcraft curse, hex, and spell, everything that's come down upon you from the masonry spirit, come out. Come out. Real deep cough. Get it out. Get it out. Get it out. Get it out. All pain, all symptoms, come up and out. You're a liar. You cannot stay. You must leave now, now, now. Get out of my mind. Get out of my will. Now here, say, Lord Jesus, tonight I give you my will. And every devil that moves me around by my will, I break the cords and the chains. You have no authority. I'm free. You get off of my will, off of my spine. All those five snakes that were named, I cut your tails right now. Get out of my spine. Get out of my mind. Get off of my heart and around my waist. Get out of my stomach. Get out of my legs. Get out of my eyes. Everything that I have about me belongs to Jesus. And now I cough you all out. I cut your tails. Get out, get out, get out, get out. Get them out. Get them out. Up and out of those spines. Up and out. You are lying spirits. You've got to go. You've got to go. Out. We bind the spirits of pain, locusts, palmer worms. The Bible tells us in Joel chapter 2 that the palmer worm and the locust, these spirits that crawl and eat the trees, caterpillars, that these are the spirits that eat the leaves off of our tree, and they make us live in poverty. Well, we have a promise over in Joel chapter 2, and that promise is, I will restore, say it with me, all that the pommel worm, the chancre worm, the caterpillar, and locusts, or those things too, have stolen from you. And in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave me, to leave my home, my businesses, my car, everything that I own. I command you to leave now. Take a deep breath and cough them out. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. Out. The blood of Jesus is against you. Now take a deep breath and say, Lord Jesus, according to Joel chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, you will restore to me all that these demons described as chancre worms, caterpillars, all of these demons that have come to defeat me and steal from me, I command them to go into the cage right now. In Jesus' name. I take my keys from the kingdom of God, and I lock that cage up in Jesus' name. And I ask you, Lord God, send the angels to arrest those devils and put them in torment before their time. And I forbid them to ever return in Jesus' name. Now, the Bible shows us over in the book of Revelation that you can turn to it later, that demons in the last days come up from out of the sea, and they come up from out of the ground. And it graphically describes these demons as being locusts and scorpions, which sting men and women for 5 months, and they cry out for death. But the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that God puts a seal on our forehead. This is not the seal of the Antichrist. It's the seal, the supernatural seal, that you belong to Jesus. And when devils see that seal, they know who you are. So tonight, we say, Lord Jesus, we break the powers of these devils that are coming up out of the sea and out of the ground, even as we speak tonight. We forbid them to touch us or to touch our families in Jesus' name. And tonight, we lift our hands up, and just as you saved us when we ask you to, we believe tonight that you will place your seal of holiness, forgiveness, and eternal life onto our foreheads in Jesus' name. Now just stand up and start praying and shout. Stand up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let the holy fire come upon these people and everything in them, burn it out. Burn it out. Just take a deep cough and burn it out. Deep cough. Burn it out. Now, instantly, immediately. Amen. Amen. Now give him a shout and thank him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How many people felt things leaving you? Go ahead. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now you speak to whatever your problems are. If the devil comes and tries to reinforce them on him, say, we got rid of that last night. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. Cover myself with the blood. Cover myself with the fire. Amen. Start doing self warfare so that you can eventually speak and you won't have headaches. There won't be nothing going on because you'll get authority over it. Amen. Amen. How many got something tonight? Amen. Amen. I'll ask the men. Men, listen to me. I'm going to ask you to go over, all of you, surround my little brother and pray for him. Encourage him in the spirit. And if you have an offering that you want to give the church, just bring it up and put it right here. If you want some oil, take them some oil. And we bind that swine flu away from all of us in Jesus' name. They say 20 to 50 people have died from swine flu out in California and Mexico. And we bind it from coming into our borders and doing a thing to us in the name of Jesus. Yeah, John's coming. Yeah, y'all pray, Pastor Dennis says.